Good afternoon or good evening to everyone. Good to see you this evening and spend time with you from God's Word. And you have been very kind in the encouraging things that you have said to me. Appreciate all of you and again, spending this time together as we look at some things to help us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. I want to express my appreciation to Mike and Tara for providing lunch this afternoon. Certainly enjoyed spending time with them, with Adam and Kayla. Again, my congratulations to you, and hope and pray that all goes well. Adam can talk. But anyway, but just really had a great time, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, it just went by so fast because we're having such a wonderful time getting to know each other. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to 1 Peter, and that's where the lesson will be taken from this evening. As we look at some of the things that Peter was encouraging the brethren in preparing, actually for the sufferings of Christ as they serve him and as they go through things that were happening during their day and time, especially when you look at what was going on. Remember, Nero was the emperor, and at that time, remember, he created that fire. He blamed the Jews, and then all of a sudden there was this persecution, and some of the Christians got caught up in that. And so these words there was to encourage those Christians to remain faithful in spite of all of those things and the pressure that was coming upon them or down upon them due to their leaders. And the same for us today, that we are encouraged to remain faithful to the Lord. I want to begin by telling you, several years ago when the kids were, at the time only had the boys, Micah and Jeremiah, and as I had gone, I was cutting the grass, and I ended up cutting over a in-ground beehive. And fortunately, I had on some baggy sweatpants when I was doing this. And so those bees came out of that hive and they started stinging my clothes. But because they were baggy at the bottom and I couldn't feel that, but all of a sudden I started feeling some stinging because they started more and more coming out and they started tapping me on my arm and everything and then on my back. And then I looked down and I saw all these bees coming up around me and I started running towards the house. And my wife and the two boys, what they're doing, my wife saw all of this, and as I'm running towards the house to try to get in the house, she locks the door. And as she locks the door, and the boys are standing there, and one of the oldest one, Micah, he's standing, he's eating something and watching me, and it looked like he was just watching TV. And I said, let me in, let me in. My wife would say, no, you go around. And so she was telling me to run because the bees are territorial, and I could outrun them. And so I tell that story when I talk about, especially what I'm going to talk about this evening, and my wife always reminds me, make sure you tell the other aspect of that too, and that is she was trying to protect her babies. She didn't want them to get stung by the bee, and so there I was trying to get in, and she said, no, they locked the door, and I could see her locking it too as I'm running up. It was hilarious, not at the time, but anyway, after thinking about that and looking back at it, and so that just caused me to think about a lesson in connection to our theme this week, and that is the theme of being. And when you really look at what God says in his word, if you will turn with me and look at 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to notice verses 13 through 15 with me this evening. And it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which you were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. And so I titled the lesson, The Bees in 1 Peter. And as you know, that what stimulated their thinking in connection to the things that that Peter writes and encourages these brethren. And one of the things about this, remember in the Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, it is there that the proverb writer encourages his son to go and look at or observe the ant. And he says, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise. And so that cues you in and looking at some of the things that go on in our society. And one of the things about bees I found out is very interesting, that they are very active. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be active in applying His will in our lives. One of the things that I've learned concerning bees is that 1 pound of honey is a visit 56,000 times to a clover head in order to get that kind of honey. Another thing that I found out is that a clover contains 60 flower tubes, and that's 3,360,000. And so in order for a bee to get 1 tablespoon of honey, it takes 4,200 trips to flowers in order to accomplish that. That's a lot of effort, isn't it? That's a lot of work and effort in producing the honey. And it says that a worker bee will travel 8 miles for a nectar flow. Wow. Travel 8 miles for a nectar flow. That says a lot about a bee. And so when you look at 1 Peter, then you begin to understand what Peter is trying to encourage these brethren, that they need to continue to be active in serving God and accomplishing His will in their lives. But it begins with them being, you see. It begins with them being what God calls them to be. It means we've got to be active. We got to constantly be applying as we're learning the will of the Lord. And the first thing that you see, and you might see several other things as well as you look through the book of 1 Peter, and as this point begins to stand out more and more, and you may even see other passages that brings these things to your attention. But 1 Peter chapter 1, again in verse 15, remember what Peter says. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. And so the first thing that God teaches us through the apostle and these writings is for us as His people, or being the people of God, is for us to be holy. And what it means is for us to display this moral quality that we see of our God, that we are to emulate Him in our lives. You see, holiness possesses essential divine qualities in contrast with what is human. Yeah. You know, we want to have our own tendency to do things, and we might say, well, that's holy. No, the standard of holiness is God. And so Peter is encouraging these brethren for them to be holy like God is holy. I want you to notice this contrast that you see in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2, excuse me, and verse 1, notice that contrast. It says, these are the ungodly qualities: malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, slander. In 2 Peter chapter 1, here are the God qualities: self-control, brotherly kindness, godliness, and love. So you can see that contrast. And so the encouragement for us as the people of God is to have the God qualities. And the God quality begins with us being holy, set apart to serve God in our behavior, conducting ourselves as God teaches us in His Word. As Peter says, in all your behavior. Or we would say the Holy Spirit in all your behavior. And so every aspect of our lives, it's a continued process of growth. It's us being active like the bee is active in order to acquire or to make or produce the honey from the flower nectar that flows. If it causes us to have to travel, let us travel. If it causes us to lay aside those things that are pulling us down and not achieving the will of God in our lives, we need to let it go. And we should constantly strive to be all that God would have us to be. Also in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, in chapter 2 and verse 18, I want you to notice what he says there. In chapter 2, verse 18, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. I'll tell you what, that is a challenge to be submissive, but that is a God quality. You see, we're emulating God. And so this idea of being submissive is encouraging us to be the type of people that make sure that we are submitting ourselves to in order to accomplish a mission in our lives, in glorifying God, demonstrating the purpose that he has for all men. Even our Lord, remember? He was submissive. He was submissive even to the point of dying on the cross, as Philippians chapter 2 teaches us about the Christ. Having that kind of attitude. You see, to submit to the orders or directives of someone, in other words, to obey, that's a challenge for us. But it causes us to learn what discipline is all about. It causes us to learn what obedience is about. It causes us to learn what sacrifice is all about. And what's connected to this idea of holiness and submission or submissiveness, an idea of really submitting ourselves to an order in order to accomplish a purpose. And when we have that in our minds, that means the church will work according to God's plan. And as it works towards God's plan, as his people, we become an example to others of what it looks like. And then that leads us to the third aspect of what Peter says and for us to be. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to notice verse 8 with me. In chapter 3 in verse 8, he says, to sum up all of you, be harmonious. Notice that. To be harmonious in connection to submission. You see, the idea of harmonious is, think about our singing, harmony. And when we sing in harmony, what's going on here? It sounds beautiful, doesn't it? God is saying and teaching us for us to be harmonious. If we take on the nature of holiness as God is teaching us to be, and we are submissive, then harmony is going to come about as we are working in fellowship with God in glorifying him. Showing the world God's way is the best way. You see, there's a lot of layers to a Christian. Sometimes we just think of one layer. And that one layer that we think of, we kind of look down upon. But God is showing us that if we add these things to our lives, these qualities, there's a lot of layers to us. He's making us better than what we used to be. He's showing us what harmony is. When you have a group that is singing songs and they practice, and then as they harmonize with their voices, it just sounds so beautiful. And you can sit there and just listen. And sometimes it even encourages you to want to participate. It sounds so good. Well, that's the way it is when we add these qualities in our lives of being harmonious. It should spark in some end of, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for a group that is harmonious and working together. And what some of you are doing in working together and wearing your mask so that we can assemble and praise God together and encourage one another. Yes, it's one thing to be online and to do these things. But it's another when you're able to come together and do this personally. I really enjoy that. In fact, you feed me, not physical food, the spiritual. You just are so encouraging to me, it gives me energy. And that's why I have to watch out, because I could talk a long time if I'm not careful. Ask the folks back at Mill Road. But anyway, but that's the whole idea of harmonious. Thinking the same things. working together to accomplish God's will. Not only that, in verse 8, he goes ahead and he tells them to also be sympathetic there. Sympathetic, as the New American Standard points out. And the idea is having this common feeling for one another. That's what it means to be sympathetic. Having sympathy, feeling this corresponding to what which another feels, a feeling that enables a person to enter into and in part share another's feelings. And that's what I said with when someone loses a loved one, you feel for them because you know the impact that has on them. That's sympathy. And what you try to do is you try to think of words or something that you could do to encourage them because you know how it feels. And you share in that. And God is telling us to be that way. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, I want you to notice what God says through the Hebrew writer to the Christians, that we can see the one to whom we have aligned ourselves with. There in those verses, the Hebrew writer points out, I need to go back. There you go. The Hebrew writer expresses, he says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see what he's telling them and encouraging them to see about this idea of sympathy? Our great high priest has sympathy. He knows what it's like. He can tell us how to be able to manage through the difficulties and challenges that we have in this life. Often, when we're going through things, we seek out those who have suffered through those very things. They can help each other. That's why I tell people, when it comes to individuals coming out of sin from all walks of life, I know it's embarrassing of the things that we've gone through and how sin has really messed us up. And then we have turned to the Lord. The Lord has put us back together. We can help brethren. We can help those who want to come out of the muck and mire sin, and telling them what we did in order to do that, to get them to the point to where they see the great and awesome God and submit to his will. Yes. That's having sympathy, recognizing and sharing in their feelings to help them along. Going back and looking at verse 8, as we said, brotherly kindness, that family mentality. Watching out for family's back. I got you, brother. I got you, sister. You know, that kind of mentality. There are a lot of people that are looking for that. And a lot of them know that they're looking for it. And they don't know where to go to find it. But because of God's people applying these things in their lives, and they reach us, we know what it's about. And we can help them to be united with our God, and therefore be united with us as we work together in harmony, glorifying God. That's brotherly kindness that is expressed in these passages. Not only brotherly kindness, he says, to be compassionate. Yeah, we need that. Kind of associates with sympathy there. Have compassion. And as we have compassion for one another, as we are compassionate, being able to help individuals and their struggles. Our Lord was like that. You know, when he was hanging on the cross and they're doing all those things to him, and as he is on the cross hanging there, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's compassion. They don't know. It's sort of like here, they don't know, Lord. They don't know, Father. They don't know. That's being compassionate. That's also being compassionate when the individual is weighed down with sin and they see what it has done to them and they don't know what to do. Here's compassion to help them out. You see, these are the layers that a Christian is applying in his life. Not only is this kind-heartedness or compassion, but also, as he points out there in verse 8, and that is humble-minded. The thing about humble-minded is that we're not filled with pride. We know how easily we can succumb to things. And what it means is that our hearts and our minds are soft towards God and His will. God teaches us to proclaim the gospel message to those who are in sin, and our minds are humbled and soft as God puts His fingerprint or thumbprint into us, we conform to it. That's the idea of being humble-minded. And then we reach out. We encourage. And having that kind of mind is really having the heart of God. That's what it's about as His people. So no wonder these things are for us to be or to have in our lives. Humble-minded. And not only that, as He brings to our attention and looking at some other aspects here, there's my passage, Hebrew chapter 4. But notice something else. And that is sober-minded. Over in chapter 4 and verse 1. Being sober-minded. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Is that the right passage there?
Verse 7.
Yeah. There it is. It looked like verse 1. But verse 7. Thank you, brother. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober for the purpose of prayer. The idea of being sober means that you're not intoxicated. That you are alert. You have your right faculties. You're thinking. And that's what we're seeing here in verse 7. Of being of sound judgment and sober in the thinking process, affecting us on the way that we think and having such a tremendous impact. In fact, when you look over in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, I want you to notice what Paul writes to the Roman Christians. Now understand that as he writes to the Roman Christians, this is the capital of the empire. So Paul writes this to them. He says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." What happens when we do that? We're intoxicated with self. And God has a way of humbling us. God provided my wife to bust my bubble at times. I start doing something. I start to stick my chest out. Next thing you know, here's my wife. Boop. Oh, yeah. Thank you, hon. Yeah. And this is to cause us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It's not saying that we're not to think of ourselves in the sense of the beauty and the blessings that God has bestowed in us as what we have in order to serve Him. But to recognize that those blessings are from Him. He says, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You see, the problem was over in 1 Corinthians. You know, those brethren in Corinth, those brethren were not thinking that way. They were not thinking sound judgment. They were even arguing, I would suppose, when you look at how Paul writes in dealing with the spiritual, the miraculous spiritual gifts that they had in order to build and edify the church. My gift is better than yours. My gift is more important than yours. That language of what Paul expresses to them lets them see that it is God who gave those gifts. And it was for the building up of the body of Christ. Looking out for one another, encouraging one another, but they failed in that. And so God had to let them know through the apostle of where they stood. See, they had put their trust in worldly wisdom instead of in the wisdom of God. And they learned a very valuable lesson. And he says in verse 4 of Romans 12, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. One of the things I found out, when I hear that word body, I think of function. I do. It's interesting that he doesn't use the term church. He uses the term body. We are to function according to what the head dictates. When the arm does not work like it should, we say there's something wrong, isn't it? It's not functioning properly. And we go to the doctor. My leg isn't functioning as it should. We go to the doctor. Why? It's not functioning. And so that body image is a picture of you and I being like the bee, active and functioning according to the will of God, praising Him, glorifying Him because of who He is. The sound judgment that we're to have. What? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. You see that? We are to be hospitable. One of the things that helped me to understand this concept of hospitable or even hospital. That's that word in that hospital. Hospital. Hospitality. Hospitable. And what it means is a place of care and concern. That's what we are to be. A place of care and concern. Helping each other. Caring for one another as God teaches us. And as we do that, our lives will be full. And you'll be able to look back on all the years and talk about all the things that you've encountered. And there'll be smiles. And even in the things that were very challenging, because you are being what God intended for you to be, you look back at that and you just smile. And the memories just continue to flood your mind. And then you think back how awesome our God is. That He sustained me through all of those things. You see the layers that God is giving us as His people. And with those layers, that says a lot about us. Because a lot of people look at Christianity as just simple people who are ignorant, but not so. We are a people that have hope, that has a better quality of life. And it may not be with the monetary things, but it's with the spiritual things. That's why Paul told Timothy to remind those who are rich not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches. That they ought to be rich toward God. And my friend, when you and I are rich toward God, we are wealthy. And one of the things we can think about, we have a home that is being prepared not by human hands, but by our awesome God. And we look at the stars, and we look at all creation, and we marvel at that. God is preparing a place for us as his people. And you think you marvel at those things, marvel at the glory that he will provide to those who are faithful, those who are being, those who are doing what he says. It's beyond our imagination. That's how great and awesome our God is. And so I want to leave with this thought. In reference to adding these things or being these things, that if we be, then we will do. Because that's who we are. Being all that God would have us to be. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Oh Lord God, our Lord, thank you for your revealing of your will for us, that we see these things that we are to add to our lives, for us to be making our lives better, helping to sustain us through the challenges that we face, even in our day, just as our brethren face challenges during their day. Thank you for your timeless word that encourages us, that sustains us. And may we apply these things in our lives and continue to teach others to do the same, that we will live in harmony before you, that you will be pleased with what we do, that you will give the increase to our efforts as we glorify your great and holy name. And forgive us, Lord, when we have stumbled. Help us to recognize that you sympathize with us, that we may have the confidence and courage to go before your throne and ask for grace in the time of the things that we need, knowing that you will provide them, that you'll be there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. All things are ready to help you to become a child of God. You might be thinking to yourself that, hey, I've done some horrible things. Yeah, you may have done some horrible things, but the blood of Christ can cleanse you. If it can cleanse the soul, like the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor, who probably had his hand in the death of many Christians, but learned the truth. And then he changed from being a persecutor to a proclaimer. And yes, he suffered, but God sustained him through it all. And he will do that for you. He is doing that for us. And we want to encourage you to align yourself with him, to unite with him. And how do you do that? First of all, you believe in Christ Jesus our Lord, that he is the one whom God sent, that you are bear with him in baptism, as you believe in him. You're willing to repent of your sins. You're willing to confess him as Lord. And then when you are immersed, you come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. You're now united with him. You now have the hope of heaven. You're on the path as you continue to walk with God. And adding these things to your life, it will become brighter and brighter, and it will become better and better. Not because of you, but because of him. And so tonight, if we can assist you, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.